John 6, 5 through 13. John 6, 5 through 13. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? There are two questions we're going to be dealing with in today's message. This is the first of the questions. There are two questions. The first one is, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many people?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Nothing is lost. We're going to start from here next week, Sunday, from nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Friends, what are we learning here? There's a very, very important, a pivotal lesson that the Lord is teaching. It's a pivotal lesson that he was teaching the disciples, that he is teaching us today. And that lesson is one about unlimiting God. I say about unlimiting God. He was teaching the disciples about unlimiting God. He's teaching us today about unlimiting God. We must learn to take the limits off of God. We as believers, as Christians, as children of God, this is why the Lord said earlier on, "Listen only to my truth." He said there are many truths, but listen to one truth. Your safety, your abundance, your blessings, your health, your everything is in the truth of God. We must learn to take the limits off of God. Jesus said, "Where shall we buy bread? Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" It's a simple, straightforward question. It does not need anyone to reason. Just give me a straightforward answer. Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But Philip, like a lot of us, instead of giving a straightforward answer, Philip began to reason. Nobody asked Philip to reason. Nobody did. Nobody asked Philip to think. Nobody did. He was asked a simple, straightforward question. Where shall we buy bread? But the man began to reason. And like a lot of us, not only that, but he created a problem on top of a problem. The Lord was not asking for him to create a problem. There was already a problem that needed to be solved, a problem that needed a resolution. It needed a solution. It needed a resolution. But Philip, like a lot of us, he began to reason. No, Philip just answered the question. No, he reasons. He reasons. Even if we had a lot of money, right? Where would we buy bread for so many? Even if we had the money, even if we bought the bread, but each person would have just a little tiny slice, a little tiny piece of the bread. How, Philip, you're pontificating now, you're philosophizing. All of a sudden, overnight, you've become a philosopher. But what did the question say? Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? God does not reason a problem. He offers a solution to a problem. God offers a solution. Philip offered reason. God doesn't reason. God offers a solution to a problem. Where shall we buy? There is a problem here, all right? But there is one. Now, the disciples had one with them who was a solution to everything in their lives, but they did not recognize him. I pray today that we will not be in the midst, will not be in the presence of the one who's got solution to every need that we might have, to every situation that we might have, to every problem that we might have, and we would not recognize him, but we would pass him by. Where shall we buy? Philip should have said, Lord, you know. Come on, Lord, you know. Lord, you are here. Lord, you know. Not begin to reason, not begin to school Jesus. And a lot of us today, we need to learn to stop schooling God. I say, let us learn to stop schooling God. To say, Lord, I've got a problem, but I want you to resolve it in this way. 1, 2, 3 steps, Lord, of how to resolve my problem. No. All we need to say, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. But a man like Philip offers reason why the problem cannot be solved. A man like Philip does what? Offers reason. Where can we get bread? Where can we buy bread? No. But what he reasons out to Jesus, what he tells Jesus, he gives him reason why the problem cannot be resolved. I say, he gives him reason why the problem cannot be resolved. How many of us, God has spoken but one simple thing, but we've been giving God, we've been offering God reasons why our situation cannot be solved. God has said one simple thing, but we are giving a long-winded reason. When God says something, we give him reason why it cannot be done. When God says something to us, a lot of us, we give him reason why it cannot be done. Let's look into this question. I think some of us here, a lot of us, we've been to school. Some of us are still at school. The teachers have told us that in order to be able to accurately answer the question, the first step is to understand the question. In order to be able to accurately answer the question, to gain maximum marks on the question being asked, because it's possible, like we're going to see Philip, it's possible to answer a different question other than the question that has been asked. Okay, let's look at it. The Lord Jesus Christ says, where can we buy enough bread for all these people to eat? Is this a tricky question? Is this a difficult question? It's an easy question. Where shall we find? Where shall we buy? Where shall we buy? Listen to what Philip says. Let's see if Philip answers the question asked to him. Oh, God forbid that when God says something to us, we'll answer something that God has not asked. Philip then says, someone would have to work almost a year to buy enough bread for each person to have only a little piece. Is that what he was asked? Is this what Philip was asked, church? No, nobody asked him about how much it would cost, how much money was required. In the first place, who said anything about money? Look at the question of Jesus. Who said anything about money? It's amazing how our narrow minds can limit the unlimited God to money. Our narrow minds brings God down to the level of money. Now, there are many people there. The Bible tells us that there were 5,000 men. And the Lord says, where? Not that we need money, no. But where can we buy? Philip, answer what you have been asked. But our narrow minds, our narrow human minds limit the unlimited God to money, limit the unlimited God to situations, to circumstances, to people. Can you see that? We limit the unlimited God. I cannot do this, Lord, because I don't have money. I cannot go, Lord, because I don't have money. I cannot reach out to that person because I don't have money. Am I talking to somebody? What does the word of God say? I think it was Pastor KB leading prayer. I don't know when, during the last week. The Bible says, don't say, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Don't say, who will go down? That is to bring Christ up. He says, but the word is near you. The word is in you. Now he's saying, everything that you need is inside you. Not where are we going to go to get somebody to come and pray for a brother, to come and pray for a sister. No, the Bible says, don't look without, but look within, because everything, God has settled it within. The kingdom is not without. The kingdom of God is within you. Don't look outside. Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. We say the same thing, Lord, if you had been here, I would not have lost the job. Lord, if you had been here, my business would not have run underground. Lord, if you had been here, this and this would not have happened. But this is exactly what he's saying. He says, don't say. Do not say. Do not say. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't we most of us like Philip? You realize that Philip is not unique at all. Most of us are exactly like that. What has God said to you, but you've never done it? Instead, you offered God reasons. Hasn't God spoken a word to you? He did. Some of us, God has given you a vision, but to this day, you've not even begun. Some of us, God has given you a dream, but because of your reasoning mind, you have killed the dream. Your reasoning mind has killed the vision. The reasoning mind has killed the instruction that God has given you, friends. The reasoning mind, we have not done anything about what the Lord has said. We are sitting here, some of us, most of us here, we have had really special visitations from God. Special visitations from God. But immediately after that visitation, we begin to reason the visitation in our narrow minds. Reason the visitation. God speaks a word, we reason the word of God in our narrow minds. Exactly like Philip. Philip, please, listen. Philip, clean, take the wax out of your ears and listen. Who said anything about money? Is there somebody here who can truly confidently tell me that when the Lord came and spoke to you, the Lord, he gave you what he wanted you to do, but the Lord said to you, but guess what? I'm worried about money. I'm bothered about money. I want you to do this, but you know, there is no money, and I don't know how it's going to come to pass. We are bothered by things that don't bother him. We limit him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We fail to do what God says. Because whatever he says, we place monetary value on it. We place people value on it. We place things value on it. We place situation value on it. We look at our limitations. Somehow the enemy has limited us in the spirit church because we view everything through the wrong lenses. I say we view everything throughout the wrong lenses. We are talking about property. We're talking about buying property for the church. I personally, I keep on seeing it when I'm praying, especially after the prayer yesterday. There was a powerful prophetic prayer that was offered yesterday. Now when I pray, I am seeing what I'm praying for. The lens through which we look. The lens. The wrong lens through which Philip saw everything. Instead of seeing everything through the unlimited God, I say instead, Philip, instead of looking through everything through the unlimited God and everything, seeing everything through the eyes of faith. Am I talking to somebody? We need to see everything through the unlimited God. You know how powerful that is? Everything in my life as I live, as knowing myself to be a child of God, I need to see everything through the unlimited God. I have a situation, I look at it through the unlimited God. I have a problem, I look at it through the unlimited God. You know, whatever I have, I am sick or someone is sick in my family or my loved ones, my friends, I need to see the sickness through the unlimited God. I need to see the lack of money I have through the unlimited God and through the eyes of faith. I come and tell your neighbor, say, faith has eyes. Faith can see. Faith has eyes. Through the eyes of faith. Satan really has limited a lot of us Christians. Why? He has taken advantage of our ignorance. This is why to many of us, the word blessing means money. Haven't you met Christians like that? Maybe you are one of them. The word blessing to you means money. If you haven't seen money, you'll never use the word blessing. Because to you, there is no blessing until there is money involved. Now, just as we limit the blessing of God to money, we also limit God to money. We limit the blessing of God to money, and we also limit God to money. As a result, we are limited all round. Philip was limited all round. Come on, friends. Yes. He placed monetary value. God says, I want to feed these people. Who said anything about money? God is talking to you about promoting you. Who said anything about circumstances? Why are you putting circumstances where God did not put them? The word of God comes to say, God says 1, 2, and 3. What do you begin to do? We are putting circumstances to the word of the Lord. Now here's a question to you. Who told you to put circumstances where God did not put them? Who told you? See that? Philip began to put circumstances, began to put money on things that God had not told him. How? Maybe it could be, and I'm feeling this, maybe it could be, that's why the word of God has not come to pass, because you have limited yourself, you have limited the unlimited God. As a result, there's limitation all around. Limited, unlimited God. God talks to you about going, God wants you to go overseas. He didn't tell you anything about money, so why are you talking about money? He didn't say anything to you about visa, about how difficult it is to get an American visa, about how difficult it is to get a Canadian visa. God hasn't spoken to you about visa. Why are you putting visa into it? Why are you putting visa into it? You're telling God about money. Where will I get the money? I have to pay in dollars. Who said anything about dollars? When God comes and talks to you, if God has not said anything about dollars, don't say anything about dollars. What's wrong? What's wrong with you, Philip? I come and look at somebody and say, what's wrong with you, Philip? Say, Philip, stop limiting God. Stop it. It's a bad habit. Church of Jesus Christ, we have become so money-centric and so money-driven that we have forgotten completely to live by faith. We have become so money-centric. We reason. I kid you not. We reason money. When our minds begin to churn, when our minds begin to think, we think money. Everything is money. Everything is money. God says, I'll bless you with houses. You say, nah, this prophet, I don't receive it because I don't have money. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, when God says, I'm giving you properties, there is grace for properties. No, you don't receive it. God says, there is grace for vehicles. God is saying, I know how long and how much you have struggled, you have suffered to try to get a vehicle. Now I have come, I am giving you my word. But what do we do to the word of God? We put money on it. What is that? That's the ploy of the devil. He has limited somebody in the spirit. You cannot advance in the physical whilst you are limited in spirit. You cannot. It's impossible. You cannot advance. Why? Because everything begins in the spirit. Everything begins in spirit. If you are limited in spirit, you are surely limited in the physical. The devil knows this principle. He knows. Everything that we see, the Bible says, was not made of things that are seen. I say everything that we see, the Bible says, was not made of things that are seen. Now we are looking for things that you can see. But the thing that you can see, they begin in the spirit. The thing that you can see, they are first made, they are first manufactured in the spirit before they can become manifest in the seen. Now the devil has gone to the factory. Now you notice that we are living wishes. We have wishful thinking. Wishful thinking is not faith thinking. I say wishful thinking is not faith thinking. Wishful thinking is limited thinking. That's thinking limitation. I say that's thinking limitation. We have become money-centric and money-driven that we've forgotten completely to live by faith. Listen to me, money is limited, but faith is not. Circumstances are limited, but faith is not. Things are limited, but faith is not. Oh my goodness, are you hearing what I'm saying? I say money is limited, but faith is not. Things are limited, but faith is not. People are limited, but faith is not. Faith is unlimited God. That's why faith, unlimited faith, believes the unlimited God. Jesus said, if you can believe. Now listen to faith that is unlimited. Faith is unlimited. Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. Your money is limited. Your circumstances are limited. People that you trust in so much are limited. But the Lord says, if you can believe, all things are possible. All things are possible. Nothing is limited with faith. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That means all things are possible for us. Look at your neighbor and say, that means all things are possible for you. And say to your neighbor, from today, thou art not Philip, but thou art Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. You've just been promoted. Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? If you look, scrutinize this question is a question of human need. Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? No. God is aware of our needs. This question is a question of human need. I say it's a question of human need. God is the answer to all human needs. I say God is the answer to all human needs. Not money, not the job, not business, not education, not intelligence, not anything. But God is the answer to all our needs. God, this is the lesson that he wanted to teach, that I can feed all of you. I can take care of all of you. That I can meet your need without money. I can meet your need without money. He met their need without money. Isaiah, the Lord says in Isaiah, come and buy without money. He says, come and buy without money. How many of us go to buy without money? He says, come and buy without money. The Lord was saying, I can meet all your need. I don't need money. God is not limited to man because he's the unlimited God. That's why the title of our message today is Unlimiting God. Let's learn to unlimit God. Let's learn to release God from the shackles of our money. We have shackled God. We have chained God to our money. Our boasting is in the money that we have. Our boasting is in the jobs that we have. Our boasting is in the salaries that we receive. No, friends. I say, no, friends. God doesn't need your money to meet your need. Abangizo. God does not need your money to meet your needs. God does not need your job to meet your needs. God does not need your business to meet your needs. God does not need your education to meet your needs. Please understand that. Let us learn to unlimit him. Let us learn. We are looking for property, and in the spirit we've already gotten it. You heard even from the prayer in the morning. In the spirit is already there. So we are not going to stand and say, where is the money going to come from? Because God has said nothing about money. He has never asked us about money. Where the money will come from is not our problem. It's not our business. It's not our concern. That is God's problem, God's concern, God's business. He feeds 5,000 men. And you've heard it said that this was excluding the women and the children. He feeds 5,000 men in the middle of nowhere without a single cent. That's deliverance from the mind. God is delivering a lot of people from chains are in the mind. The mind is chained to money. You want food, you think money. You want clothing, you think money. You want transportation, you think money. The child is sick, you think money, because already we are thinking doctor, thinking clinic. Everything is chained. Mind is chained to money. He feeds 5,000 men in the middle of nowhere without a cent. Is that all? Of course not. And there was more left. And there was more left. There was more food left. But not a single money was spent. God, oh macabra lika sande broshka, lete bralika mande broli. Come on, listen to me. God is going to feed you without a single cent from your part. I say God is going to feed you without a single cent on your part. The woman with an issue of blood, the Bible says she has gone from one physician to another. She has gone from one specialist to another until she exhausted all her money. She exhausted all her money. I say she exhausted all her money, but then she meets Jesus without as much as 1 cent. She was made 100% whole and forever. Made whole permanently without money and no relapse. No relapse. They say now there's a relapse. No, no relapse. When God heals you of cancer, there's nothing like the cancer has come back. I say there's nothing like the cancer has come back. No relapse. Look at your neighbor again and say, God is telling me to tell you right now. He's going to feed you. He's going to take care of you without as much as 1 single cent. Do you understand this? Some of us are sitting here. You cannot fathom to being a millionaire because you are thinking, for me to be a millionaire, I must have money to invest, the money that will generate the millions. You are limiting God. Now, God can't operate in that environment. You have limited him. This is the lesson. Let us learn to unlimit him. God can't operate in that environment. God cannot operate in an environment where he's limited. Is that true or false? The Bible says when Jesus was at Nazareth, the power to heal them was present. No, this is something else. The power to heal them is present, but he could not do much there because of their unbelief, except to lay hands to a few folks and they were healed. Right? What happened? They limited him. What does it tell you? God cannot operate in an environment where he's limited. Cannot. This is why the Bible says, we read this in Psalms 81 and verse number 10. God says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. What does it mean? Unless and until you open, God cannot fill you. Now, what does this mean? You can be right in the church where God is, but because you're not open to receive, you will live the same, having received absolutely nothing. God did not say, shut your mouth and I'll fill it. He said, open it and I'll fill it. There's an opening on our part. Now, God is saying today, unlimit me and see how much I'll do for you. But unlimit me and see how much I'll do for you. Unlimit me. Open your mouth wide. wide is not ajar. Ajar is not wide. Ajar means open slightly. Just small, small. Some of us, we believe in the God of small, small. That's why our God cannot do much. Our God cannot do greater. Are you still the God of small, small? In your home, in your life, how much have you opened for God to come in and operate? How much? How much, church? Hallelujah. Amen. Are we still together in this place? Amen. Verse number 6, but this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. This he said to test him, for he himself he knew what he would do. Listen, we don't know what to do when insurmountable problems hit us, do we? I say we don't know what to do when challenges come against us, when challenges come at us. However, we must not be tempted to reduce God to the problem, to the size of our problem. We must never, ever. Listen, it says he was testing him, for he himself, he knew what he would do. Whatever a situation, problem that we come across, God already has the solution. God already knows what he would do. But we must not be tempted to reduce God to the size of our problem. What does this mean? Unlimit God. I say unlimit God. You believe God for one car, God didn't tell you to believe one car. You decided to believe one car. You could believe for two cars. You could believe for three cars, but you believe for one. God didn't tell you to believe for one car. True or false? You believe in God for a house, not for houses. God did not tell you to believe him for a house and not for houses, but you decided to believe him for a house and not for houses. That's your choice. You've limited him. Now God is only allowed to give you one car because that's what you allowed him to do. God is only allowed to give you but one house because that's what you allowed him to do. You did it, God didn't do it. That's why the prayer yesterday was about lands, about properties, not about property or land. Those who were here. It was not about property, it was about properties. It wasn't about land. God never said, I'll give you land. God is not taking you from physical Egypt to physical Canaan. God has said, I'll give you lands. He says, those who have left land, God says, I'll give them lands. Let's learn to unlimit him. Oh, come on, somebody. Glory to God. Let's not be like Philip who reduced God to the size of the problem. Philip, he looked at how big the problem was. And he began to reduce God to the size of the problem. He began to limit God according to the problem. May we not limit God according to the problem that we face. May we not limit God according to the problem that we face. We're looking for property. How big the house of the Lord is we're going to build is not up to God, it's up to us. If we build it to seat 500 people, God will only do 500. If we build it to seat 1,000, God will do 1,000. But it's up to us and the vision that we cast into the future. I say it's up to us and the vision that we cast into the future. Not like Philip who says, Lord, there's nothing that we can do here. Let's just forget about it. You know, Philip was telling Jesus to forget about it. He says, forget about feeding these people. What's wrong with you? And of course I could understand. Remember, Jesus was a young man. The disciples of Jesus, majority of them were young. They were all young men. So when Philip looks at Jesus and this Mushimano, how many of you have seen it? 5,000 people. No, let's forget about the children and the women. 5,000 people and they're hungry. How much would it cost us to feed all of you who are sitting here right now? Now imagine 5,000 of us. And I guess in the mind of Philip, he was already computing and who's going to bake the food? The bread, I mean, who's going to bake the bread? Where's the flour going to come from now suddenly? Because these people must eat now. The amount of flour. Where the person who's going to sell us the bread must still get a flour, must still make the bread. And who's going to fish the fish? Because it's a lot of fish that we're going to require to feed all of these people. That's how we limit God. I said, that's how we limit. Oh, I want land, but then the land is vacant. I will still have to build. Oh my goodness, what is the price of building? Did God talk to you about the price of building? Or did he tell you to get land? Ah, bangizwa. Do not put in the mouth of God what he didn't put. Do not put in the mouth of God what God didn't say. Because if we do, we limit him. We limit him. Philip forgot but one fundamental. Philip forgot but one fundamental, and that is what's impossible with men is possible with God. Philip forgot that. That what is impossible for men is possible with God. And I pray today that we will not forget this one fundamental. I say, let us not forget this one fundamental. Let us not reduce God to the size of our problem. Let us not reduce God. What is your rent compared to God? What is your rent money? Why are you reducing God to your rent money? Can I tell you this for free? Whatever you want from the Lord, he wants to give you more. No. This is the truth. Whatever. That's why he says there were leftovers after the people had eaten. Whatever you want from the Lord, God wants to give you more. I say, whatever you want from the Lord wants to give you more. Amen. Oh, Lord, may you give me a church of people that hear. I know that church is not there yet. Because if you were those people, it would show. Matthew 7 and 11. Matthew 7, 11. If you then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Give good things to those who do what? To those who do what? Friends, what should we ask from the Lord, by the way? What should we ask? It says, he gives good things to those who ask him. What should we ask from God? What should we? The impossible. I say the impossible. We ask from God things that for us are impossible, things that we cannot do for ourselves. Listen, if it was possible for you, you would not ask him. If you could do it, you would not ask him. If you could get it, you would not ask him. Now, what do we ask from God? The impossible. The impossible. And can I tell you something? That's what glorifies him. I say that's what glorifies him. This is what pleases God. When you're asking God for something that is impossible for you to do, impossible for you to get, impossible for you to achieve, now your prayer is honoring God. Am I talking to people in this place? A prayer that honors God is the prayer when you ask God for the impossible. That prayer honors God. I ask God for things that are impossible for me all the time. And I really believe it. In truth, I do. I do. And I know that prayer honors him. That prayer pleases him. That's the prayer. That's the prayer. My prayer, my requests can tell you about the size of my God. If you are to be there to eavesdrop in my closet, then you can tell the size of my God by the request I'm putting to him. We can tell the size of your God by the request you put to him. Ay, ay, ay. No, no, we can tell, we can tell. We just need to listen to you praying. Then we know if we should follow you or not. Hallelujah. We just need to hear you pray. Listen to me. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 men. Five loaves, two fish, 5,000 men. Have you tried to visualize that? By the way, the bread they're talking about was not as big as our bread. It's smaller. The barley bread is smaller. Now imagine how many of those breads. Our bread is big compared to a barley bread in the east there. 5 of them, 2 little fish, and 5,000. And we are here, we are still struggling to believe them. This is impossible. This is unheard of. This is unfathomable. Now, God wants us to ask him for the unheard of. God wants us to ask him for the unfathomable. God wants us to ask him for the impossible. This is what he wants us to ask him, to believe him for, to unlimit him. Hallelujah. Let me close. Glory to God. Mark chapter number 8, verses 19 through 21. This is the second question. I told you this message has got two questions from Jesus. We dealt with the first question from our Lord. Now we're going to deal with the second question and we close. Now the Lord says, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? You see, there's another question. And they answered him correctly. They said, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? They answered the Lord and they said, what? 7. Now, 7 loaves, 4,000 men. 5 loaves, 5,000 men. The human mind must begin to swim already at this point. Now here's a question, second question of our message. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? How is it that my servant has preached to you? He has taken you through scripture. He has walked you through my word. But even now, you're still sitting and looking at him, you're still unbelieving. How is it? How is it? You do not understand that there's nothing impossible with God, number one. Number two, how is it you do not understand that your need, your problem, your lack is not above God? Number three, how is it that you don't understand that God is the provider and the supplier of everything you need? Number four, how is it that you don't understand that God is enough for you? Number five, how is it that you do not understand that whatever situation you have, God can handle it? Number six, how is it that you do not understand that God is all you need? How is it, man? Six is the number of men. I gave you 6 points. How is it? Christ is angry at this point. Actually, in the spirit, he's agitated. He's agitated. He's saying to them, why have you not learned anything? And we do exactly the same thing today. We read about the miracles of Jesus. I kid you not. We read about the miracles of Jesus, what Jesus has done. And guess what? Even though we are born again, even though we are Christians, we learn absolutely nothing from it. Just like the disciples that were with him. Learn nothing. If I ask a question, you've read about these miracles of Christ multiplying fish, multiplying bread. What have you learned? Nothing. Most probably, most likely. How is it you don't understand that there's nothing impossible with God? Point number one. Number two, how is it that you don't understand that your need, your problem, your lack is not above God? Is not above God. Is not above God. Is not above God. Number three, how is it that you don't understand that God is the provider and the supplier of everything that you need? It's not money. It's not your job. It's not your business. It's not your education. It's not your connections. But God is the supplier and the provider. of everything you need, how is it that you don't understand that God is enough for you? Point number four is that. How is it that you don't understand that whatever situation you have, God can handle it? Last point, how is it that you don't understand that God is all you need? How is it? Are we learning the lessons, church? Or are we missing the lessons like the disciples missed them? I say, are we learning the lessons? The thing is this. Do not, oh my goodness, do not say who will ascend. Do not say who will go down. He says, do not do that. But the word is in you. Some of us, we are waiting for that great prophet, that great apostle, that great bishop to come and pray for us. And then suddenly there will be breakthrough. That's Disney. Your mind, you are thinking Disney. God says, don't look. Don't say who's going to ascend. Don't say who's going to descend. It's right in you. For my kingdom is within you. Let's not think Disney. Let's think Bible. The Lord was teaching them that God is the God of the abundance. God is the God of the pressed down, shaken together and running over. God is the God of the abundance, of the superabundance, is the God of the pressed down, shaken together and running over. God is the God of the overflow. How do we know that? How do we know that? Because he says, when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, now he says, how many baskets full of fragments? Basket full. Overflow. Hallelujah. He says, also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full? Overflow. Large, full. Last week, we were talking about the net that was breaking. We were talking about one net that was breaking, filling up two boats, that those boats began to sink. Now, when it comes to you, he will say, how is it that you don't understand? What did I teach you last Sunday? He would say. What am I teaching you this Sunday? He would say. And then he would say to you, how is it that you still don't understand? He's the God of the abundance, of the pressed down, shaken together, running over. He is the God of more than enough. He is the God of more than enough. God blesses us to be a blessing to others. I say, God blesses us to be a blessing to others. Now listen to me, you people of God. To receive blessings from God and to handle blessings from God, we have to deal with the lack mentality. Lack mentality. Philip had a lack mentality. Lack mentality. And can I continue? Even Andrew had a lack mentality. He says there is but a little lunchbox there. But he says, what is it to so many? Lack mentality. I say lack mentality. The lack mentality hinders God's will and God's agenda. I say the lack mentality hinders God's will and God's agenda. What is God's will and God's agenda? Blessed to be a blessing. Oh my God. I say, what is the will of God? What is God's agenda for you as his child? You are blessed to be a blessing. God wants you to bless you so much that it will overflow to others. Blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. The lack mentality says, Lord, I'm praying for my needs. I'm praying for the needs of my children. I'm praying for the needs of my house. That's a lack mentality. Maybe that's why up to now God has not answered that prayer. Because God blesses to be a blessing. I say, God blesses you to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Why did he bless Abraham? He blessed Abraham. That was God's will and agenda. Bless to be a blessing. Abraham, I will bless you to be a blessing to others. Oh, Lord, please, Father, just the rent for this month. Just the rent. Just for me and my children. Father, I pray, even for the food, just five loaves of bread, they will take us the whole week. Please, Lord. No, God doesn't think like that. You see, you have limited the unlimited God. No, bless to be a blessing. I say, bless your blessing. Yes. Now, what am I telling you? Now you can confidently stand before God and begin to ask him for an abundance. Yes. Why? That's the will of God. The will of God is abundance. Yes. He's the God of more than enough. Yes. He's the God of more than enough. When you pray God for a healing and he heals you, please ask him to make you a blessing to somebody else for you to be able to pray for others. You see, that's the will of God. It's not just your healing. No. You are healed to heal others. We are delivered to deliver others. You are set free to set others free. That's how it is. That's the will of God. He was teaching them that God is the God of the abundance, of the pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God is the God who does miracles for us. I say God is the God who does miracles for us. And listen to people of God, you cannot buy miracle. Money does not buy miracle. I say money doesn't buy miracle. Let us learn to believe in the true God and let us learn to unlimit him. He was teaching them that God is unlimited. He was teaching them that God supplies all our needs. And guess what? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to what? Now that is not here on earth. His riches in glory by his son is not here on earth. No, 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 no. No, no, no. And that means unlimited. That means unlimited. He supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is unlimited. It does not matter the size of your need. It does not matter the size of your problem. According to his riches in glory, God is unlimited. God does everything for us according to his inexhaustible worth. Worth, worth. What is God worth? God does everything for us according to his worth. How much is God worth? That's how he does for us. Bill Gates, he does everything according to his worth. Warren Buffett does everything according to his worth. All the rich people, they do everything according to their worth. That's why when they give you a gift, they give you a gift according that befits their worth. That's why they won't give you a phone. It's too small for their worth. They want to give you something that befits their worth. Now, this is why he says, God, he meets all our needs according to his worth. And we know the worth of God is overflow. Pressed down, shaken together, or running over. He meets our needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus. That's unlimited. How much is God worth? How much is God worth? If you are still believing God for a Toyota Corolla that is worth 250,000, you see, that's what I'm telling you. You honor God, you please God when you ask him for something that is unheard of, when you ask him for something that is impossible, when you ask him for something that is unfathomable, because you are asking him according to his worth. 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 When we look at properties, the moment we see that the property is 20 million, we quickly move. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, the man of God is making it up now. I'm not like that. Every time we look at property, the moment we see, they say this property is 21 million, we move.